food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, October 15th, 2014. Wendy Wilson is still having some computer problems, and hopefully she'll be able to join us next week. And, of course, you can always visit her website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or give her a call at 866-229-3663. That is 866-229-3663. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
What a wild and crazy day we had in the markets. The Dow plunged as much as 460 points this afternoon before pulling back. And certainly, gold did go up, but
it went way up for a while, just as it, and in a sense, wow. It moved inverse to the Dow. Gold was up as much as what, another $10, up
another
$17 earlier today,
mm-hmm.
And then it came back at seven. It's up seven. I don't know what you're reading right now, but it's up $7 thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
For the day, in the same sense that the Dow went down up to 460, and then it came back to where now, where is it, 170, 80 points, something like
yeah.
that down?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get into those numbers right here. So, yeah, so with these numbers today, October has pretty much erased most of the 2014 stock gains. The Dow is negative for the year. But let's go ahead and get into the numbers that we see on the day. You have the Dow up 750 today at 1,240.
Dow up?
I'm sorry, gold.
Okay.
I got the Dow. I was all like, us gold dealers, when you see the Dow down, we get a little, you know, a little excited here.
I understand that. So just calm down now. Calm down and just tell the people.
We have gold up 740 at $1,240. We have silver up 7 cents today at $17.56. And the high on that was about 40 cents more. To the high. Platinum was down $6 at $1,264, and palladium was down 26, 3.3% at $768. USDX today is trading lower, 0.83 at 85.00, and crude oil, it moved a little bit down, 0.14 at 81.70. And the paper markets today, the drum roll, please. 173. from a 460 drop. So a little bit of a plunge protection team, and they're working its magic here the last few hours of trading today. The Dow is 16,141. The NASDAQ is down 11 at 42.15, and the S&P down 15 at 18.62. I think most of all the paper markets, those three were down well over they were closing in on close to 2% on the day, so they have come back quite well. 10-year yield today, that dipped below 2, but we're looking at 2.09% on the day, down 0.12. So a big drop in the 10-year yield. So, and that's what we're seeing. And of course, it would be natural to see the 10-year yield drop. When, you know, investors get concerned, they run to bonds, especially U.S. government bonds. Now, that would be the last place that I would go. But of course, gold will be next. You know, first they run in the bond market, then they run into gold as if and when things continue to erode. And so when you see that yield drop like that, you know, people are buying up the bonds. And we did, let's see, there were a couple of reports out today, Al. What I found interesting was the Empire State Manufacturing Index. And that is an index that is based on a monthly survey of manufacturers in New York State. And they call this the Empire State Manufacturing Survey. It's conducted by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Now, that number came out today, and it retreated to 6.2 in October after hitting a near five-year high of 27.5. In the prior month. Yeah.
In September.
Yeah. From 27.5 in the prior month, which would be September, to 6.2 in October.
It reminds me of the second quarter GDP reports.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, at least initially, allegedly growing by something like 4.8%. 4.4, I don't remember the exact number. They've revised it since then to some degree, but still a spectacular upswing.
Yeah.
From allegedly losing 2% or more in the first quarter, and now we see another kind of correction coming in here. That's, we see, Gerd, we're going from September to October, significant drop. It implies third quarter will not be anywhere near as optimistic as we saw in the second quarter.
Most of the economists that were polled had expected a 21.0, so they were still looking at a decline, but nothing like the 6.2. This gauge where readings above zero indicate, of course, improving conditions. New orders in the index dropped to negative 1.7 in October from 16.9 in September, while shipments plunged to 1.1 from 27 to 1. It's like, well, what happened to all the manufacturing in September? I mean, to see these kind of drops, it's
almost like somebody bombed the factories. You'd think you were at war, World War II, and the bombers flew overhead and they bombed a bunch of factories. How else do you explain that steep a decline in that short period of time? And there is one other explanation. And that the figures aren't honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the point is that maybe it wasn't as high as they claimed in September. That's one possibility. I'm not even saying that's true, but something strange is going on, that's for sure.
But this is, of course, the first of the regional manufacturing surveys that are released each month, so we'll have to see how the other areas come out. They also had retail sales that dipped 0.3% in September. The Commerce Department reported today, and of course it shows that naturally that the consumers are not spending. Even though we had the Dow at 17,000 and it looked like all the economic conditions were improving, consumers are not spending.
And of course, means they're not buying the government's crapola.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, well, it doesn't necessarily mean that. It either means that they're too broke to buy or they're waking up to the fact they don't trust what the government's telling them. Governments say, yay, everything is great. Go out and spend some money and buy some stuff. And people say, I don't think so. So which is it, Melody? Do you think they're broke, or do you think they are skeptical of government reports?
I think they're broke. I don't think they're skeptical of the government reports. That I don't think so. Because most of these consumers believe government, so I would think they're broke and they have no disposable income. And so, and the most telling of these reports, grocery store sales declined 0.1%. Sales at sporting goods stores were down 0.1%. Furniture store sales fell 0.8%. But it's interesting because what do you have in September? You have back to school shopping, which is usually a big month, and that dropped 1.2%. So that's a big drop for back-to-school shopping. There was only one category that showed a strong gain, and that was electronics and appliance stores. Those sales rose 3.4%. And, of course, you know, they're saying a lot of that impact was due to Apple unveiling its iPhone 6. Hey, I'm not going to buy my kids any clothes for school, but I'm going to go get my iPhone 6. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I understand that. We have our thankfully priority. We have our priorities are reasonable, rational, and in line. We'll be able to talk to each other face to face as the economy implodes.
But my kid can wear holes in his shoes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But so it'll be interesting to see how the holidays shaping up. Perhaps they're all waiting for these steep discounts that these retailers are going to put out. Maybe they're
saving. I bet they do, too.
Oh, I saw.
How soon do you suppose they're going to start making? I mean, November is Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have, I'll bet we see significant sales middle of November.
Well, I already saw stores are beginning to open, stores that normally remain closed. Of course, we began to see that last year, opening like midnight on Thanksgiving Day. And I saw some stores opening at 6 p.m. Thanksgiving Day. So they're turning Thanksgiving Day into a shopping day. And it
Absolutely.
Just goes to show you the you know how cramped they are. They need the sales. So they're hoping they can get an extra day in to compensate. But then again, when you have an economy that is struggling, and they only have so much money to spend when you don't have that disposable income, there's only so much. It doesn't matter if you add an extra day or not. Only so much is going to be purchased. And then the final, of course, I think began to have, I think everything just came together at once today to get that $400, almost $500 drop in the, or point drop in the Dow was, the Ebola, came out, of course, with the, new caretaker coming down with the illness and that she flew on Monday, I believe it was, or this past weekend. She actually took a Frontier Airlines and flew to Ohio.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. So
I'm sure that anybody fly to Ohio in the last few days?
Oh,
I mean, not just on the same flight. We've had a report where at least it appeared that one of the police officers, sheriff's deputy here in Dallas that went to the apartment after the guy was removed, they were concerned that he may have contracted Ebola just from something on the surface of the air in the apartment. All right. So what do you think? You know, doesn't that inspire your confidence in the airlines? Gee, I wonder who's been sitting in this seat before I got it. Or so I don't. And it's just these are the kinds of concerns that are going to have an economic impact, even though they may be irrational. Right. People are going to sit back and say, uh-oh, I don't want to ride on an airplane. And I'll bet money you'll see a decline in air traffic over the course, you know, starting in the last week or so. It'll show up.
And the thing is, you don't have to have the entire population going through this time of fear. You don't have to have the complete
It's true. Because the economy is already fragile, relatively small percentage essentially back away from the economy and hibernate for a while and just say, I'm not going to the football game. I'm not going to the motion pictures. I'm not going out unless I have to the grocery store. We see enough of that. Well, it could have an effect when the economy is already vulnerable.
Well, you had the American Airlines, you had Delta Airlines. Their stocks fell sharply today. Mm-hmm. Both airlines are down nearly 20% over the past month alone. You also have cruise lines, you have Royal Caribbean, you have Carnival. They have tumbled nearly 20% from their 52-week highs on hotels. So this, this will really hit the travel industry. They've also, their stocks like Hilton and Starwood Hotels and Resorts, they've been hit by these concerns. So that's one sector I wouldn't want to be in at this point in time.
Should be able to get some great deals if you want to take a vacation. I'm just curious if they make
advertise and include
hazmat suit that you can wear and you still get sunlight to work on your tan.
Yes.
You know, the sunlight will go through, but the Ebola won't.
Yes, we shouldn't laugh, but yes, that would be one marketing tool to use. Come in a variety of colors.
That's another thing. The ships, in order to drum up business, instead of having life preservers, they may supply hazmat suits.
There was one comment from, I think it was Ed Yardini. He's an investment advisor from Yardini Research. And he talked about the market is being hurt by emotion, that it's being driven by emotion rather than fundamentals. It's like, well, what fundamentals does the stock market have anyway?
Yeah.
The strongest fundamental that the stock market has is the Federal Reserve. But you're also seeing there's major concerns with Europe. I mean, they were down again almost another 2%. I saw that the Germany's DAX over the past 3 months has been down over 12%. And they just keep getting hammered night after night after night, so day
Which
after
implies,
day.
Which implies, and that's significant because what it implies is that whatever's going on that affects the United States stock markets right now. Dow is down 170 points or whatever for the day. And down over 500 points, I don't know, it's probably down, pushing 1,000 points, 900 or 1,000 points in the last little while. It's not just happening here in the United States. It's also happening in Europe. That implies that it won't be easily corrected. The problem is more systemic than it is national. Something's happening in both Europe and the United States. Maybe it's coincidental, but they're probably related. We probably won't get the stock market to jump back up in this country unless it also jumps back up in Europe. And perhaps that's going to complicate any hope of resurrecting the stock markets, regaining what's been lost in the last week or 10 days.
Well, I think certainly Ebola is the big headline in the news because that information is constantly changing and there's always, new news. So that's the major news. But the underlying of the stock market is the economies, as you mentioned, Al. You know, through Europe and Greece, their stock markets, they're returning back to the spotlight. You haven't heard much about Greece of late, but there's concerns about the stability of their government, the bailout program, and they've had a massive sell-off in stocks and bonds. They closed yesterday, 6.3% lower, having traded down as much as almost 10% on the day. And that was following almost a 6% loss on Tuesday. So
So what is the underlying fundamental on this? What's driving this? Is this just a slowed a slowing economy on a global basis? Is that the primary fundamental, or is the primary fundamental something to do with fiat currencies? More than likely, it's the immediate fundamental is a slowing economy, but a large issue there are the values of fiat currencies like the euro and the U.S. dollar. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're going to continue the special from yesterday. Now, everyone knows that gold and silver are higher today, but you're getting it at yesterday's price. It will only be honored throughout the day. And this, of course, is a 1/4 ounce gold eagle and 20 silver eagles, 1 ounce, for $785. That includes your shipping cost. If you would like to upgrade your 1/4 ounce modern issued gold eagle to a pre-1907 $5 Liberty gold piece, just add $40 to that price, and that would be $825. So your choice of which gold coin that you would like, and of course, either or, you would have the 21-ounce silver eagle. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And of course, we will have the special after today. We will still have this product available, but it will be readjusted if prices continue to rise in the gold and silver markets. 800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. That's DGS for discount gold, silver, coins, coins.com.
Okay, Melody, what's next?
I do believe we have Mr. Jim from West Virginia.
Well, Mr. Jim.
I do. I was just going to mention this much, is that the fiat currency is the means by which government can spend money out of thin air.
That's exactly right.
Every time you have a failing economy, it's because more and more and more people are taken out of the productive sector and put into the wealth-manipulating sector. So the fiat currency allows them to do that, and as long as we have the international bankers who supply the intelligence agencies, who do all the blackmailing and paying off and threatening and killing government, governments will be run by these banksters, these gangsters, these counterfeiters. So it's a source of all the ill in the world. So, folks, it's got to go. And I thank you, folks. I'll just sit back and listen. You do a fine job.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, you know, it was Baron Rothschild. He made the comment, I don't care who makes the laws as long as I can control the supply of money. And it's consistent with what Jim was just saying about the bankers controlling situation. And they do insofar as we the people are dumb enough to accept little pieces of paper and digits, electronic digits, as if they were money. People don't understand what money is. And they say, oh, this is like, look, I got a piece of paper. It says 100 on it. I have $100. No, you don't. You got a piece of paper. And people don't get this. And we can only wonder how long this ignorance can persist. But once it's evaporate, once it evaporates and people say, wait a second, you mean these green pieces of paper aren't really money? They're only currency? They have no intrinsic value. They are. There's all kinds of problems with these things I won't even get into. But most people don't know anything about the currency other than it spends. They understand the number in the upper right-hand corner and the upper left-hand corner. They get that. Other than that, they don't understand that there's so much more. It involves your rights. It involves your standing in court. A whole bunch of things flow from the kind of money or currency you're using. Very few people appreciate it, but it doesn't mean that that ignorance can be sustained forever. Sooner or later, people are going to wake up to the truth of these things, and when they do, they're going to say, OMG, give me something other than paper or digits. Maybe some gold. How about some gold or maybe some silver? You know, we are watching the Dow Jones has been in the other markets. They've dropped significantly in the last several days, and surprisingly. But I'm actually pleased to see the Dow fall. I'm not pleased because I'm a gold bug. I'm not pleased because I wish any bad luck on those who've invested in paper debt instruments rather than gold. I know that in the event that the markets continue to fall in a dramatic manner, it's going to point toward an economic depression and perhaps an economic collapse. And no one, including me, will be happy in those circumstances, or virtually no one. There might be a few people get along. But for me, I'm pleased to see the Dow fall because it represents a return to truth. All right? We are beginning to see something other than the manipulated Dow Jones Index. For whatever reason, the manipulation has failed, at least for a while. And instead of being at an artificially high level of 16 or 17,000, it's down 16,000, thereabouts. All right? That's a little bit of a resurgence of truth. If this keeps up, we just might can't catch a glimpse of whatever the Dow Jones is really worth in a free market. And we might be able to catch a price that the Fed might not be able to manipulate. Now, the way it jumped back up later today, something's happened. Dropped down over 400 points, and it's bounced back up 250 points.
The plunge protection team out.
I think probably that's the case, which indicates, you know, they're still more or less in charge. But the 1,000-point drop, or nearly 1,000 points, that indicates that everything is not really under control. It means that you and I are not necessarily subject absolutely to government lies. They don't have it locked down so tight that the truth can't still be made apparent to people. I am sick of government lies. I'm so sick of it that any return to the truth, no matter how painful, even if it's done in the context of an economic recession or depression, that seems like a blessing to me. I know it won't be fun. I don't pretend it would be fun, but I'd like to see a restoration of truth. I don't like our government. It's built on lies, and it appears determined to destroy our rights while it creates an overt police state and pushes us into a global government and a new world order. So if the Dow continues to fall, it'll be painful even for me. This won't be fun for me, but I'm willing to bear that pain. If the fall in the Dow ultimately exposes government lies and reduces government power, falling Dow will diminish public confidence in a government built on lies and on the abuse of power. As that public confidence falls, the value of the fiat dollar will also fall. So it's one of these things. You know, I was listening to John Williams today. He was interviewed by Greg Hunter, John Williams from ShadowStats.com. He's one of the very few people I regard as a hero. he did spectacular work to track the numbers on unemployment rates and cost of living rate, inflation rates, and the rest of it. He calculated these according to the same formula he used 15, 20 years ago, which is not the formula that they are using today by the government to provide official economic indicators. And he calculates, while the government says the inflation rate is down in the neighborhood of 6%, he says no, it's up close to 23-24%. If you calculated the same way you did 15-20 years ago, unemployment rate is what, 4 or 5 times higher than the government is officially reporting. Williams was being interviewed by Greg Hunter, and he is predicting that this whole thing's going to hit the fan. He's predicted since last year that this was the year that we would see hyperinflation. This was the year when we would see this whole thing blow up. And it really looks like maybe he made a mistake. All right? He expected to see it. He was pushing this hard at the beginning of this year. He's still pushing it. He still thinks it's likely before the end of the year, but we're running out of time to see hyperinflation. But we can still see that there are problems here. And as public confidence in the economy, in the government, in the Federal Reserve fall, the value of fiat dollars will also fall. And as they do, where do you want to be? You're going to want to be in something that's going to reflect that falling value of the fiat dollar inversely, and that'll be gold or silver. That'll be the kind of thing that will protect your wealth. What else? Here's the other question in all of this. We can wonder if the Federal Reserve will sit by idly as the Dow drops. Given the Dow's already fallen from above 17,000 to below 16,000, it was down the 15,000 range today. If it continues to fall, I'll bet that before the Dow reaches the 15,000 level, Janet Yellen will publicly announce that QE3 is not going to end, all right? But will it either be extended or replaced by a new round of QE4 in order to once again stimulate the Dow Jones? This is in part evidence. What we're seeing here is in part evidence of what happens when the government stimulates the economy, the Dow goes up. When government tapers off on the stimulation, the Dow goes down. There's a time delay on these sorts of things, but it appears that there's a correlation. And if they want to protect the Dow, they're going to have to come back with more quantitative easing. They're going to have to inject more money into the economy. And the next few days may be critical. Will we see a couple more 300 or 400-point drops during the next week? If we do, I suspect that Janet Yellen will announce the beginning of QE4 before the end of next week, and perhaps as early as this Friday. Two more days. If we had two more days where the Dow fell 200, 300, 400 points during the day, even if it regained some of that, we could expect maybe Janet will be up here on Friday saying, wait a second, we're going to buy more of your stuff. We're going to buy more U.S. government bonds. We're going to inject more money into the economy, and Wall Street will say, yay, and the Dow will once again start going up. But it will be an illusion. It'll be a lie, and that's part of the reason why I was saying earlier, I'm kind of glad to see what's happening to the Dow, not because I wish anybody bad luck who's invested in the stock market, but because I do want to see some restoration of truth where somebody's got to say what the truth is, who actually works in the government. So.
Well, Al, I think that's the only thing I see wrong with that is because people won't see it as the government. They will see it as the bankers, because it is really bankers and Wall Street that control so much. Certainly, government supports it, so it allows it to happen, and certainly government grows because of our fiat currency. It allows them to do whatever is needed, but I'm not so sure so many people would see this as a government problem, because they'll look to the government as a way to save it, like they did once before, to bring the Dow from 6 to 17,000 in a relatively short period of time. So, you know, it exposes the corruption in the system. I'm not quite sure people would recognize who the real crooks, and they're all crooks on both sides, really are. And
well, it's a question. How many people really need to know
the truth still prevails? And it doesn't really matter because, I mean, people are buying bonds. So you wonder how much, you know, with these low rates, how much does the government need to buy when you have everybody else running into bonds? But the question is, can Yellen, even if she did introduce QE4, when you have the fear of Ebola, I don't care what she would introduce, that fear driven by Ebola wouldn't correct it. I mean, I think that fear is a fear that no one can stop. I don't think they can plug it. I don't think if the market is falling based on that, there's nothing the Federal Reserve could do in order to keep it from dropping.
Well, they can slow it down. I mean, they've
not
seen something today, but
fear,
not permanently.
If it's fear because of Ebola, there's nothing they could do. I don't think they would be able to slow it down.
Not permanently, but they can.
No,
you know, I mean, even today we saw it regain 200, 250 points.
Yeah, but we got two people sick. Let's multiply that and then add the fear to the market. There's no way they'd be able to bring it back. It would just drop.
We'll watch and see.
It would drop like a rock. Now, if they pull the fear factor out from the Ebola, if they pull that out, then yeah, then they might be able to manage it a little bit better and do the QE4 and, you know, and so forth. But I think that's working our markets. That means we also have to plug the European markets also and keep those from dropping any further. And when you have all the other problems with Russia, Ukraine, and ISIS, and Iraq, and everything else, I'm not so sure it's going to be as easy as they, you know, the plate has it's a lot fuller than it was in 2008.
Oh, everything's more fragile, and the problems are piling up. And it's one of these things where you're looking for, you know, when you really do look at it, and you see how many problems are there. They've been there since 2007, 2008, maybe even earlier, but they haven't really gone away. We haven't addressed the problems. We've just kind of papered them over to some extent. And then we have additional problems piling up like a log jam in a river. And you can sit back and think, I wonder how long before that log jam breaks. Is the river just going to kind of seep through and eventually come back to normal, or is it going to just all of a sudden bust through? Will we see a catastrophic event? The possibility of a catastrophic event is at least here. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's possible. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. We've got a caller, Jerry from Indiana. Jerry, what you got for us?
Hey, Melody.
Hi, Jerry.
How you doing?
Pretty good, Al. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain too much. I don't think I can. You know, you never know for sure. You think you're okay, but you don't know if you really are or you're not sometimes.
Well, I got a question. I don't want to get your blood pressure up, Al, like I did the last time. We might have to call Eddie Wilson or something, but I don't think so today. You know, I was amazed myself. You know, you've got the Dow down over 400. And like Melody always says, you know, at the end of the day, here it comes back up. My question is, was it Bernanke or Greenspan? Melody was talking about the plunge protection team. Did they write some rules in there, Melody or Al, that they're not going to let the Dow drop over so many points, or am I just out to left field?
No, that's my understanding. Melody, you may know better about this than I do, but it's my understanding that they determined plunge protection team is designed to prevent the market from falling more than 500 points in a single session. And it may be that the number is other than 500 points, but that's my rough understanding. And therefore, if it looks like it's going 500, or particularly if it gets to 500, they jump in. They start buying and, in theory, raise market prices back up. And that was a device that was created during the Ronald Reagan administration.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Reagan was the one, his administration devised the plunge protection team. And the reason it's important, there's no question that the plunge protection team exists. There's no protection. There's no question that they have been used to try to hold the market up. And a lot of people sit back and say, well, that's a good thing. It prevents these damn panics. And to some degree, they are correct. But it's also absolute evidence that the government has been manipulating the markets since at least the Reagan administration. When we say we have a plunge protection team, if the free market wants to fall 5,000 points in one day, you let the free market do what it wants to do. If you're going to have a plunge protection team say, no, we're not going to let it fall more than 500 points, regardless of what the free market may want to do, you no longer have a free market. You have a manipulated market. And once you sit back and you say, well, this is cool, we'll stop the market from going down, how long is it before somebody says, you know, if we made the market go up, we could get reelected? So my point is, for those who doubt, they think, oh, that's just some conspiracy theory that the government is manipulating the markets. No, they've been doing it by law since at least the Ronald Reagan administration. All right? So what's going on?
Was Volcker the chairman of the Fed under Reagan?
Don't know.
You remember? I was just trying to think there, but... I can't remember who was chairman of the Fed, but
what difference? Why does it make a difference? Why is it important?
It does. It does. And I'm just trying to, keep.
Now you're talking. I'll be 70. I'll be 70 next spring, and if you're asking me to remember things, sometimes you need to talk to maybe somebody in eighth grade or something like that. They remember things. I just talk about things. I don't remember things, if you catch my drift. Jerry?
You've got a couple of years on me, Al, but anyway, great show. Appreciate you guys, and I want to get off here and listen.
All right, Jerry, thanks for your call.
Well, you know, it was October 19th of 1987 that you had Black Monday. And the working group of financial markets was created by Ronald Reagan.
Official name.
Through an executive order.
Called the Plunge Protection Team.
Right, and that was actually tagged by a newspaper of an article that was written back in 1997. I can't remember which newspaper article, but that's how the Plunge Protection Team term came about. But, you've got the working group consists of, I think, the Secretary of the Treasury and, of course, the SEC, the CFTC, and the Federal Reserve. And that's what it consists of. And Reagan wanted to make sure that the markets maintained the integrity and competitiveness and investor confidence. Was the key thing.
Yeah, but, I understand that. And as we were talking during the program, we were talking about the place of fear in the market and why the government does everything it can to try to eliminate fear. And the reason is because, from my perspective, that confidence is the critical factor to holding this economy and particularly the fiat currency together. The only thing that gives a paper dollar any value is public confidence in it. It has no intrinsic worth. That confidence is absolutely susceptible to public fear. Mm-hmm. If people all of a sudden say, oh my gosh, I can't trust in the paper dollar anymore, you hit that moment of panic when they lose confidence and this whole thing falls apart. And I would imagine that there are people in the Federal Reserve and in the government that are pretty much terrified by the idea that the people lose confidence, and therefore they do everything they can to maintain optimism, and that includes lying to us. This is the fundamental justification for all the lies. How big is the national debt? What's the real unemployment rate? What's the real inflation rate? They are lying and lying and lying. Because they're scared to death that if you find out the truth, you'll lose confidence and the whole house of cards will collapse. That's the fundamental idea from my perspective. It may be that there are other explanations that are a little more valid, but this idea, this explanation is at least partially valid. If we had a money that was backed by gold and silver, and it wasn't intrinsically worthless, if it wasn't supported only by public confidence, fear would not be such a big problem. All right, big deal. People panicked. I had 100 silver dollars in my, in the little box up on the shelf before they panicked, and I still have $100. Nothing's happened to it. I won't say that silver and gold are absolutely immune to fear, but paper dollars and digital dollars, fiat dollars, are 100% vulnerable to fear. Right? And that's so here we are. We live in a world where they have to lie to us because they don't dare let us catch wind of the truth if that truth is going to diminish public confidence, because that's what the whole con game, confidence game is based on, public confidence. I got an article here, not even an article. We had a reader that wrote to us and said, in another 2 years, will gold and silver values return to 2012 levels or $700 for gold like Cary Dent predicts? Appears bleak. These are the reader's comments. What is your counter to that? This is from Bill. And here's my counter. While I can't provide you with prophecy, I can remind you of a couple of fundamentals that appear to be true to me. First, over the past several centuries, governments have repeatedly tried to install fiat currencies at least 275 times, according to one researcher. With the exception of a few recent fiat currencies, like the U.S. dollar, that have not yet failed, all fiat currencies have failed. It's a virtual certainty that the recent fiat currencies, which haven't failed, will fail at some point in the not-too-distant future. So here's fundamental fact and a premise for my argument. All fiat currencies fail. Fact one. Fact two. 43 years ago, 1971, the paper dollar became a pure fiat currency without any intrinsic value when President Nixon closed the gold window and stopped redeeming foreign dollars with gold. The premise is, number two, is that the dollar is a, current dollar is a fiat currency. Premise one, all fiat currencies fail. Premise two, the dollar is a fiat currency. Implication, it's going to fail. And we have evidence of that, and that's in the third fact. In the 43 years since the dollar became a pure fiat currency, the value, the purchasing power of the paper dollar has fallen by 97% in 43 years. Which leads me to the next premise. If the fiat dollar lost 97% of its value in the past 43 years, that's an average of over 2% a year. If that trend continues, the fiat dollar should lose all of its remaining value within the next 2 years, maybe three. All right, that's the implication. Now, I'm not going to guarantee that it's going to happen that way in this next 2 or 3 years, but that's certainly the implication. It's lost 97% of its value. You can bet that it's going to lose the remaining 3%. When it does, it's bye-bye. Fact number four, as the remaining value of the fiat dollar falls, price of other commodities like food, energy, and precious metals should rise. I know the markets are manipulated and some of these things can be resisted, but still, if the dollar's going down, commodities are going up. It's just, it's a teeter-totter effect, and it should take place in a reasonable, rational world. Manipulation might prevent that for a while, but I think that prevention is only temporary. So my conclusion. Given the apparent proof of facts 1, 2, 3, and 4, it seems at least reasonable and perhaps inevitably true that after losing 97% of its value in the last 43 years, the paper dollar is destined to also lose the remaining 3% within the next 2 or 3 years. As the dollar loses another 1%, then 2%, finally 3% of its original value, prices for gold, silver, denominated in dollars, should not only rise, but rise exponentially. There may be some bumps along the way which cause the price of gold and silver to temporarily and irrationally fall, but the ultimate result seems certain. The fiat dollar is going to die. And the price of gold is going to rise big time. As for Harry Dent's prediction that the price of gold will fall to $600, I don't believe it for 1 minute. I think it's, I regard that prediction as irrational, but even if it, even so, I hope Dent is right. Because all that means to me is that if gold falls to $600 an ounce, it's just another extraordinary buying opportunity to buy gold at an irrationally low price before it inevitably rises to a spectacular high. Gold is inevitably going up, way up. Why? Because the dollar is inevitably going down, way down. How high the price of gold is going to go and how soon gold is going to skyrocket remains to be seen. But you look at the fundamentals on this thing and you say, it's conceivable. Harry Dent says the price is going to fall to $600 an ounce. Well, maybe. No. I find that extremely unlikely. The sun may rise in the west one of these days, too, but I don't expect
People should Google Harry Dent on the Internet and see how many times he's been correct over the past 20, 25 years. It hasn't been very many. So, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to see gold at 2012 levels before you see it at 700.
Yeah.
That would be a bet I would make.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And every day is a buying opportunity. 2 years ago, when gold was 17, dropping from 19, it was a buying opportunity. It was $200 lower than 1900. That's a buying opportunity. You can't time the markets because there's things that you have no control over. And when you buy gold and silver, you're converting those paper dollars into real money.
That's the point you're doing. There's the point. And preserving your wealth being however much of your labor that you've expended over the years and that you haven't yet spent. If you earn $1,000 a week and you live on $700 a week, you got $300 in savings. That's your wealth that you are accumulating. That's a result of your sweat and your blood and your tears and your energy that you've expended to work and get paid. That's your accumulated wealth. Stored in paper, you're going to probably lose your assets. Stored in gold, and you will almost certainly come out ahead. You'll at least preserve what you've got, and you'll probably come out substantially ahead.
You can't time the markets. And if gold is dropping and you continue to accumulate gold and silver, you're just lowering your prices overall. It's a good thing. What else are you going to do? What else are you going to do with your hard-earned money? Let it sit in the stock market where it's going to go down. Let it sit in the bank where you're soon going to have to pay them to keep your money in the bank. You're going to get negative rates in return. Do you think any of that is going to keep up with inflation? So what are you going to do with it?
You could make little paper airplanes out of it.
You
could
make little paper airplanes,
fly out the window.
Fly notes, yeah.
And you,
But
what else? I guess we're going to have to consider what else we can do with our savings, our wealth tomorrow. Melody and I are done for today. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's good.